All right, well, I'm going to take the next 15 or 30 minutes and share a little bit about the ministry. I don't normally even do this, but I thought it would be good for me to share about the ministry, and then we're going to have lunch. And just as a reminder, we're going to take up a love offering later this afternoon, and this is to bless the Black Creek people. They have generously given and given of themselves way before we got here and during the conference. And I didn't even realize that we're having two meals, but that's even a more, for that reason, we need to generously give. So I want you to pray about it, prepare your hearts. This is for us to give back, okay? That'll be this afternoon. When Esther and I left the Amish in 1987, we were young, 20 years old, had been married for 9 months, and we became part of this local church. They kind of took us in and accepted us just the way we were. And for the next 15 years, I did all I could. I wanted to be involved. And so I remember being asked if I would teach Sunday school. I was supposed to teach 4th, 5th, and 6th graders as a substitute. So the pastor's wife helped me put a lesson together, and it was on hell. It was Luke chapter 16. I still remember it. And so I went in there, and I taught on the reality of hell. And I didn't realize then, but I would never be a substitute. I taught Sunday school from that day on for the next 6 years. And those 4th, 5th, and 6th graders were boys were in my class, and then just about the time they graduated into teenage class, they asked me to teach the teenagers, and so I had them for all 8 years, okay? And it's interesting, and that's not all to my credit, because many people had influence on these young men, but four of those are in full-time ministry. And that's a blessing, I tell you. I was in Lancaster, Pennsylvania not long ago, and one of those men drove for two hours just to be part of the conference, and it was such a blessing. Mike was his name. But then there were those times in my life when God really showed up. The first time it happened is when I was behind the house on Route 42, and Paul was sharing the gospel with me, and that day I opened my heart up to receive Christ, and I had an encounter with the living God. It was so real that it radically changed my life, right? I was doing an interview on this radio station. It was actually the Moody radio station from out of Chicago, and the guy asked me, he said, "Now, in my next hour, we're going to continue an interview, and it's going to be on, do you remember the day you got saved?" And I said, "Absolutely I do." It was on a Sunday afternoon, and it was on July the 28th, 1985. He goes, "Hold on a minute," and he paged through his calendar, and he goes, "You're exactly right. It was on a Sunday afternoon." I said, "It was real. It was an encounter with the living God. How could I forget that?" So I'm going along in life, and one night, and it was just during the week, it was on a Wednesday evening, and we were having a missions conference at my church, and this guy was red hair, was teaching. I didn't know him. He didn't know me. I had worked all day as a tool and die maker, and I was sitting there. And that night, when he gave the invitation, I was the only one that went forward to that altar, but I had an encounter with God at that altar right then and there. And I knew that God was asking me to give up everything and just prepare my heart for what he had. I remember saying to Kenny Lindekamp, who is now long passed away and in heaven, but he came up, put his arm around me, he said, and I told him, "I'll go to Africa. I'll go wherever God wants me to go. I'm willing to give it up." And I think that's all that God wanted that night. And then a few more years went by, and then God began to, through a suicide that had taken place in the Amish community, he got a hold of my heart. And for the next 6 months, I went to work, and I was really battling. And it was like God was wrestling with me and wanting me to go back to the Amish and minister to them and evangelize them. And let me tell you, I had no idea how to do that. I didn't know how you ministered to the Amish. I was like Jonah. I had run. You know, they had cut us off. And I was a deacon in the church. I was the Sunday school teacher. I was the one that took every opportunity he had to go preach in the nursing home or wherever he could. You know, I remember at my workplace, I was the pastor of the large workplace. I remember witnessing to men that were dying on the floor and they were drawing their last breaths, and I was calling out to God that they would get saved. That's what I was doing. But now God wanted me to go to this, do this ministry. And one day I just walked into the bathroom and I said, God, I am done. I don't know what you want from me, but just take my life. And that day, John Stevens, who would later enter the ministry the same day that I did full-time and become a pastor, he came over, sat in the next stall, and together, and he said, Joe, just let it go. Just go to your pastor and tell him what's going on in your life. And so I did. I met with my pastor at the end of 1999, who has been my mentor all my whole life.
Boy.
And I said, Pastor, I just need to know what it feels like when God calls you in the ministry. How do I know it's God? And so it just needed that confirmation. And he said, don't worry about the details. Just let go and step in. And we sat down. We drew up this little outline that to this day, when we go into churches, we still share that outline pretty much on the ministry and all that. So now I'd like to share the ministry. This is a picture of our family, our two children. This is Rachel here, and this is Jonathan. Jonathan just told me the other day, they're both involved in the ministry. Rachel a lot more than Jonathan, but Jonathan told me the other day, he goes, we need to advertise the store in. And he said, I found out that you can do this through Google Grants and all that. And so we're on the phone, and the gal goes, it's going to cost you $499 a month. I said, well, that's the end of this conversation. We don't even have a dollar. All right? Jonathan said, don't worry about it. I got it, Dad. $499 a month he's paying to help us advertise. And so these are the kids that we have, and amen. Praise God for it. They're very involved in their churches, and just thank God for that.
Yes.
Ministry structure. We started out in my home church, and then we built this 2,000 square foot building, and in 2013 we added another 1,500 square feet. And this is a picture of our board. Now, I don't know, can you all see that or not? But a picture of our board. We meet about six times a year. And just recently we added Arlen to our staff. Now he only works one day a week, but he retired and needed a little bit of extra work. And I said, you know, for $60 a day, I would like to bring you in. And I had a perfect job for him. This is our house mom to the apartments. And so all these other ones are just part of the ministry. We have a lot of volunteers that come and help with the ministry. Every year, at the end of the year, we have this time of celebration. And so this is one of those pictures. This is Samuel here. And Jonas, who preached here from, did a wonderful job. He had 1 foot in MAP and 1 foot in HR ministry. And I was sort of, I think he wanted to bring both feet over to MAP, and he thought it was going to happen. But recently he put both feet into HR ministry, and I'm okay with that. But now it's Samuel and I. We had Stephanie here served as an internship. She's going to be a missionary in Lancaster, Pennsylvania. This gal right here, Miranda, is from the Netherlands. She served an internship with Matt, was it last year? And right now we're working and going through the process of bringing her back. She's quite the gal, knows seven languages and just amazing. She's got the gift of evangelism. She's the kind of person, when she was over here, all she needed was a bicycle. And she would literally, that's what they do in the Netherlands. They all have bicycles. And she would go out through the countryside. And one day she was making her round. And this Amishman was working down in the creek. And she parked her bicycle and went down and led that man to the Lord. That man went down on his knees and cried out to the Lord for salvation. His wife did too. And so she feels God is calling her to come back and work with us in the ministry. And it's a lot more I could share there. I mentioned earlier that over the years, part of our ministry was to help young people who were leaving the Amish, and Esther and I would take them in. Finally, we built this little apartment that was part of our house, and we could take up to three. And then one day, we were talking, and one of my board members said, I just need to tell you that my mom told me before I left that she wants to give the ministry $100,000, and she wants you to go out, and she wants you to use that money to build an apartment house. And we've been looking at an old schoolhouse up until this point, but at this point, we put it out there, and you know, probably within about a year and a half, we raised almost $390,000. There's still money coming in for these apartments.
Oh, glory God.
And we're all done building. We've had, this is just for girls. We have the house mom lives here. And then we have a community room where they can play games and watch videos and stuff, or movies. And then we have two apartments here. And in each apartment, we can take four girls. So we can take eight girls at a time. Now, this happened in August. And so we put the word out that the doors are open and we're ready. And within about a month, the first girl showed up. I don't even remember which one it was. But this one here came from Pennsylvania. This is the one that came from Michigan. This one from Iowa. Missouri, Indiana, Missouri, Middlefield, Ohio. This was Holmes County. This one was Pennsylvania. And then these two young men, it was this young man here. We were sleeping in the middle of the night. My wife and I, we had presented the ministry at a church that day, and it got home late. We're in bed. It was 1 a.m. All of a sudden, it was boom, 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 right on our window on the outside. And it was Noah Graber, a young man that we'd helped. He was an alcoholic, had come in from Indiana. He was from the Swiss Amish, which is what Samuel is from. It was him and this guy right here, and he needed a place. And I said, okay, I'll go around the inside, I'll open the door. We let him in, told him where his bed was, and that's how it happens. The next day he had a job, and then a driver's license soon after that, and this young man followed from the same community. But these are the young women mostly that have filled the house up, couple have moved on, and so forth. In real ministry to these young people. As we were talking about these apartments, and I love to tell you this story because this is how God works. I was sitting at a table one time, and I had two guys sitting at the table. One of them was a board member, and the other one was one that I'd done ministry with for 30 years. And we were sitting there, and I thought, I just kind of shared my ideas of, I feel like these girls come out, and they don't have any social security number. They can't get a job or a driver's license or anything until they have this social security number, right? And so they just kind of sit there. And I wish we had this maybe bulk food store. I said, and that they could kind of come in and get some training, retail training, and make a little income and help pay for the apartments. And the one guy said, well, if you do that, he said, I'd throw $50,000 in. And I'm pretty sure that my brother would too, put in a $50,000. And so when he said that, the other guy said, well, if they throw in $100,000, I'll throw in $100,000. And so we just like the apartments, we had not discussed it. I didn't know it was happening. We raised $1 million for this building. And now let me tell you, it all sounds good so far, but it has been a challenge. We've had lots of struggles, even to the point of where I thought this, if it wasn't of how it started out, I wouldn't even have faith that it would continue. I would have closed the doors, but people have believed in us, and we're working hard and listening to people, but we have a number of girls that work there. Here's a picture of the store. This was on one of the open houses, and that's why you see so many cars there. But then you have the apartments back here, our ministry and our home church. This is all on the church property here. You've seen this map before. Last night, I believe, Jonas showed it. It shows where the Amish live. The stars represent where MAP Ministry is reaching into Amish communities. These are some of the Amish families that we've helped. I mentioned earlier this morning this older couple that came in from Missouri. She was from Canada, still a Canadian citizen, and we've helped them get their citizenship, their social security numbers. This is one of their sons. And we had helped this family out here. Levi, you know this family here, right? Eli and Saloma.
Oh, yeah.
We've helped them out a lot. Eli ended up in prison, and he's been working at our ministry now because he just has not really been able to get another job. But we've helped their family out. This mother here, the whole family left the Amish, and then the husband, who is a minister, went back to the Amish. They're separated right now. Same with this. This was an Amish minister. Their whole family left the Amish, and they're living in Fort Wayne, Indiana. The Bible Club. This is our biggest ministry to the Amish. Maybe I'll play the video. I'll take you into the office, kind of give you an idea what it looks like in the office when they're working on Bible lessons. Turn that up just a little bit on the computer. So I mentioned earlier that we have a lot of volunteers that come in. We have 45 courses of Bible lessons that range from age 5 all the way up through adult, and we're running about 5,000-6,000 students. Last year we sent out over 104,000 lessons. These are correspondents, and so last year we had 300 and some salvations, 324 or something like that, testimonies that came back in the mail. A lot of these are children. I've counted them up. We've kind of tracked our students, and we've had almost 50,000 active Amish students enrolled in these lessons. Many of them have gotten saved. Almost over 3,000 salvation testimonies that we have from those that have gone through this ministry. We have a publication called The Amish Voice. We have samples back on our display. Sermons that we upload to the phone every month. 6 new ones every month. And then we have the ministry to the former Amish. Here's some of the ones that we've helped have been in car accidents and died. In this particular one, John died. Marvin had his neck broke. And this is the car that they totaled. And this girl here lived with us. She totaled her car one morning. This man got killed. He and Noah Graper were in this vehicle. He got killed. Noah didn't. This guy got killed. And so these are young people that had lived with us. And this is always, this gal right here, wow, quite a story. She was from Michigan, lived with us for 6 months. And one morning she was in a car accident and ended up in the hospital and in a coma. Esther and I believe in one-on-one discipleship. Really have a burden. Right now, you can hardly see these. There's four young people right here. They're couples. We're discipling them. We're going through the ABCs for Christian growth. And all four of them want to be baptized. We're waiting on Easter. They chose Easter as the day to get baptized. But these are the two young men, led them to the Lord. Sam, when you got saved, it was in my office. This man here got saved in our office as well. And I've had the opportunity to disciple him. This is Noah. This young man here came to me and he's like, Joe, I feel like God's calling me to the ministry. Will you disciple me? And so this, I just love this. This, I could do this all the time. Other ministries in action. We're doing conferences about one every year, sometimes two. We're doing another one of these in Michigan in the fall. And some other ones that are interested. We did a conference in Middlefield, Ohio. There are 2,000 families in Middlefield, Ohio. And this is split up into 120 church districts. Lots of Amish and a great need. A lot of sexual sins and alcohol that have played out in this community. And so last year, we did two of these conferences right in the middle of the Amish community. The first time, the Amish tried to shut us down, even to the point of sending the law enforcement in to try to shut up our doors because they felt like we were in there to pull them out of the community. We were not. We were there for, we're praying for revival. Yeah. And we're praying that God would bring Amish and English and everybody together for revival. We do GED classes there at our facility. Here's some pictures of ones that have come through the GED core classes. These ones graduated. Some of these are now in community leadership positions. Last year, we had 22 or 23 graduate from our GED class. And you can see a lot of those were Mennonites from our area that were coming in. And it was just a great way for us to connect with them and establish relationships. Let's see here, we've got 5 minutes left, we'll have lunch. I want to just talk a little bit about the resources on our table. And I think I brought, that's this book right here, The Gospel of John. This is in its third printing. And it has the Gospel of John in three languages, the Martin Luther translation, Pennsylvania Dutch, King James, and then a fourth column where it says, where we have our commentary notes. And we have a couple of these cases. You can buy these for $2.50 a piece. This is pretty much what we have in them because we want you to pass these out like you would pass gospel tracts out. If you buy a whole case, we can even give it to you for cheaper. And I have, like I said, cases here. If you want a case or just buy a few, I just want to encourage you to pass this out to the Amish in your area. I think it was last year or the year before, I forget now, when we came out with this one. And last night, if you were here, you heard about the Dortrecht Confession. the 18 Articles of Faith that were drawn up by the Mennonite community pre-Amish existence. The Amish and the Mennonites, they still follow those 18 Articles of Faith. The problem oftentimes is that, for the Amish anyways, is that these Articles of Faith are written in German. Before we could get baptized, we were taken through all 18 Articles of Faith, which they're all very scriptural. They're sort of like the doctrines of faith. The problem was we didn't understand it. It was in German. We could read German, but we couldn't understand it. So when a guy from Australia emailed me one day, and he's like, I have this burden to be part of your ministry, but I don't know how. Do the Amish have a doctrinal statement? Do they have a standard that they follow? I said, you know, now that I think about it, I said, not really. I said, every community is different, completely different. And so he's like, well, how about we write this book that have the doctrines of the faith? So eight of us wrote an article of the faith. I know that title of this book says, What Do the Amish Believe? A better title would be, Do the Amish Still Believe What the Forefathers Taught? That's really what this book is about. And just like this, it has not taken off like this one did, but to me, this is my favorite book. These are the doctrines of our faith that have been passed on through the generations. And for you to pass this out, same price as this, we have it by the case. You're welcome to pick that up back at the display. My wife and daughter put a cookbook together. For every cookbook you buy, we send out 6 more Bible lessons. This is our newest little book. It's just a little jumping the Amish fence. But I believe there's 30 testimonies in here. Some testimonies of former Amish that will make you weep, literally. We've gotten many, many, many testimonies. We've taken the best of the best and put them in this little booklet. And we're talking right now. We'd like to put this conference on in 2019 at our home church, Making Disciples. That's the name of the conference, Making Disciples. Simple.
It's 2020.
2020. Yes, we're in 2019 now. 2020. And what I want to do is bring these former Amish in. We did this last year in our Amish Awareness Conference, but I want to do it even more so next year. Is bring in Eli Lee from Nicaragua, who left the Amish and just didn't raise any support. He just felt led of God to go to Nicaragua. And we're talking about the way back in as far back as you can go. They learned the language. They're missionaries over there. And I'd like to bring Eli over here and his family. I'd like to bring Ephraim Stolzfus from New York City, who got saved and just gave his $1 million farm, literally handed it over to the family and said, you can have my farm. I got saved and I'm going into ministry. And that man sells lambs to the Muslims and the Jewish people up in New York City. And I'm telling you what, you go on YouTube and put in Ephraim Stolzfus. It's amazing what the man is doing. And he's spoken in a number of our conferences. And I want to bring him in. And then you got Mike Stolzfus, who's going into Iraq. These are guys that are just doing, you just don't hear about these things every day. And I want to bring Mike and Ephraim and Eli Lee and Jonas Yoder, who's going into prison. Bring them in, give them a platform. And I just want to show what can happen when somebody surrenders their life for Christ. And the Holy Spirit is not dependent upon education. He's dependent upon hearts that are fully surrendered. There are testimonies in here. And for whatever it's worth, pick it up and give it out. And so anyways, my people, the Amish, wrote my book about my relationship with my father. I left the Amish and went back seven times. But the turmoil that I went through as a young man, and how God used the pain for his gain. And that's my book. We will end with this. This is, we have this, last year was the fifth, the 500th year anniversary for the Reformation, the Amish and the Reformation. Joseph Graper, who has been very much a part of our conferences, is a pastor in Colorado. He put this together, Breaking the Silence. I would so encourage you to buy both of these as a combo. And but Breaking the Silence is such a powerful documentary movie. Samuel is in there, his wife Polly, and other ones. Just amazing what God has done. We'll show this and then we'll break up for lunch.
Lester started reading the Bible like he never had.